Lord, indeed tonight we exalt your majesty. We magnify you. We thank you for this time, this privilege. Thank you, those of us who are here at the School of Miracles, those who are online at the School of Miracles, those who are in country, those who are out of a country, yet watching this now or later. Thank you, because indeed you are set to bless us immensely tonight. Lord, we ask as we get into your word that you open our eyes so that we might see the wondrous things in your word. Let that word be planted indeed as the incorruptible seed that it is, and let it grow. Let it grow and grow and grow and grow until it bears awesome fruits in our lives, in Jesus' name. We give you glory. We give you praise. Thank you for the utterance, the tongue, the mouth, the tongue of a learned to speak a word in season to him who is weary. Thank you, because there's no way any of us remains the same after having an encounter with your glory, even tonight, in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Go to Mark chapter 11. Mark chapter 11. Thank you. Oftentimes, the enemy of revelation knowledge is familiarity. So you have to be very careful with familiarity. When Jesus was speaking in John chapter 8, verse 32, he said, "And you shall know," or come to the knowledge of the truth, the intimate knowledge of the truth. You will know it like you know it, like you know it, like you know your name. He said, "You shall know the truth, and that truth shall make you free." But that's not new. What most people don't usually, you know, dwell upon is verse 31, the preceding verse, which is that if you are my disciples, you will, how do you put that? I said, if you are my disciples, then you will dwell in my word, you know, and then you will know the truth. So what people don't look at is the fact that there is an aspect where you stay with the word of God again and again and again, even if it means repeating it again and again and again, and then it births revelation knowledge inside of you. So never, ever, ever. In fact, he said in Hebrews chapter 2, I believe, he said, "Let us therefore take heed to the things we have heard." Let's take heed, he says, thank you. He says, "Let us take heed to the things we have heard, lest we drift away." So there is something to be said about going back to certain things. It's the reason why we read the Bible again and again and again, isn't it? Nothing is changed inside that Bible, but each year, January 1, I start it again. You know, and I go through that whole Bible again that year. There's nothing new that's been added. Nobody's writing a new chapter at the moment, I hope you know. They have not put together a committee of authors, you know, who are going to rewrite that Bible. But I'm so happy to read it again. In fact, at some point, because of the many wonderful, you know, translations or versions we have, I thought maybe I should read it in another version. You know, I should just go through that year in another version entirely. But I discovered that even itself was an issue, because I'm used to what I'm used to. You know, so I said, no. I can always consult all the other versions, but I need to stay with the same one. I need to just hear it again the same way I knew it before. So what started me on that road is that familiarity is the enemy of revelation knowledge oftentimes. So don't get too familiar. Mark chapter 11, have you found it? Mark 11, we read from verse 12. It says, "Now the next day, when they had come out from Bethany, he was hungry. And seeing from afar a fig tree having leaves, he went to see if perhaps he would find something on it." He's talking about Jesus. He said, "When he came to it, he found nothing but leaves, for it was not the season for figs. In response, Jesus said to it, 'Let no one eat fruit from you ever again.' And his disciples heard it." Can I hear you say, "And his disciples heard it"? So this was not guesswork. This was not maybe this was, he said this with a degree of confidence. You know, I even said it the way I said it, you know, let no one eat fruit from you ever again, because you can imagine that state of mind in which he was. You can imagine that that was how he spoke. Not, let no man eat of you ever again. Spiritus was said one day he was at the bus stop. Was at the bus stop. And a lady came out of her house and came to the bus stop to wait for the bus. But a little dog followed. And the little dog followed this man and came to the bus stop. I mean this woman. And she said, hey, shoo, shoo. Go back, go back. You know, and the dog would just wag his tail. He said, go back, go, 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 go home. The dog would wag his tail. You know, he said, go home. The dog would wag his tail. Said, and then the bus showed up. And as the bus showed up, I was coming, he said, go back home. And the dog turned and sped back home. He said, that's how you ought to treat the devil. You know, what does that mean? If you are giving a faith command, give a faith command. You understand? Not, devil, leave me alone. Are you still with me? You know, some say, devil, leave me alone. You know I'm not troubling you. Don't trouble me. He said it doesn't work that way. You know, a faith command is issued with some audacity. So Jesus said, let no one eat fruit from you ever again. Verse 2. Now in the morning, as they passed by, they saw the fig tree, the same one, dried up from the roots. And Peter, remembering, said to him, Rabbi, look, the fig tree which you cursed has withered away. Note that Jesus wasn't looking. He wasn't looking because it was a done deal yesterday, as far as he's concerned. Do you understand how faith works? It was a done deal. So he wasn't passing by and trying to see, that tree. Where's that tree? He had said it, and it was done yesterday. He was just going to walk right past. He wasn't looking out. He was, Rabbi, look, the tree you cursed yesterday has withered away. So Jesus answered. So he took this opportunity to begin to teach. Okay? And he answered and said to them, have faith in God. What was he trying to teach? He was trying to teach how miracles happen. Are you still there? So a miracle had just happened. They were eyewitnesses to the miracle, you know, because sometimes, again, you know those stories people tell. I love those things. It's a miracle happened in that crusade. It's a miracle happened in that meeting. They arrange it. It's all arrange it. They give the people money. Were you there when they give them money? Are you with me? I'm not saying that it doesn't happen, but there's people who just absolutely dismiss everything. So except they were there themselves. I mean, we had a meeting many years ago. You have manifestations of the Spirit many years ago. And this lady just stood up. The power of God hit her hard. And she stood up and began to dance in the Spirit. And I mean dance in the Spirit. So at the end, the sister said, it must be God. She said, I know my sister. She can never do that. That must have been God. So what was it? She was an eyewitness. If they told her, she might doubt it, but she was there. I said, what I saw. My sister would never do what I saw. God must have touched her. Hallelujah. Are you still here? So verse 22, Jesus, remember what I said, Jesus began to teach them how miracles happen. Okay? A miracle had just happened. They were in shock, so he took the opportunity. This is an object lesson. Let's learn what just happened. Let's learn how this happened. Okay, so he answered them, verse 22, and said to them, have faith in God. For assuredly I say to you that whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. Therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them and you will have them. It's actually verse 22 I'm going. Okay, so to make matters short, I'm not talking verse 23 or anything. I just read all of that so that we have full context, because the booster service also is a teaching service. Are you with me? So the full context is they've just seen a miracle live. They're in shock that, wow, even a tree dried up just like that. And then he says, have faith in God. And what I'm talking to you tonight about, you need to listen closely to get what I'm saying, is don't have faith in your faith. Is the secret of walking in the miraculous, is the secret of seeing miracles. And I'm not, when I say miracles, I mean miracles of every kind. You want to see miracles of finance. You want to see miracles bodily healing. You want to see miracles in your home, your marriage. You want to see miracles, you know, whatever it is. And you want to, you just want to see God manifest in impossible situations and circumstances and show He's the Almighty. Then the secret of it is, don't have faith in your faith, but have faith in God. Okay, so for the sake of title, my title is Don't Have Faith in Your Faith. The secret is, Jesus said, have faith in God. He didn't say have faith in your faith. What do I mean? Very often when I hear people speaking, and people are saying things like, my faith is too small to carry it. They are having faith in their faith. You understand? I can't believe for that. That one is too much for me. I can't believe for that kind of thing. They are having faith in their faith. That kind of thing. I can't even pray about it. How can I believe that God will do that? I can't believe God will do that kind of thing. You see why you whisper? Say, I don't even want the devil to hear. Because then everything will spoil. Are you still there? So people have faith. That our struggle oftentimes in the miraculous is because we are believing in what we have, not having faith in who God is. The moment you can spin it, because what Jesus was trying to say is, hey guys, the tree will dry, the mountain will move if you simply believe in the Almighty God. Forget about yourself. If you can take yourself out of the situation, take your own ability out of the situation, including your own faith. Don't dwell in how big, how small. When you say, I don't have enough faith for that. What is enough faith? And how will you know when you have it? Do you understand what I'm saying? Yeah, if I can tell you I'm going for what? 6-pack in a gym. When I get the 6-pack, I should know. Isn't it? Yeah, so if you have a target, if I don't have enough money, how much money is enough money to do what you want to do? You should know. So when you say, I don't have enough faith, how much faith is enough faith? What faith, what's it going to take to get that enough faith? So oftentimes, that's where we get stuck. We get stuck in trying to figure it out. You know, not people like me who can't believe like that, you know. And what it takes is to turn around and stop looking at yourself and start looking at God. Are you still there? The moment you start looking at God, then you start discovering that everything else is small in size compared to the size of the God in whom you have believed. Are you with me? You know, there are even testimonies people can tell that can shake you up even as a believer. That even you, that you're a Christian, you wonder, is that man just telling stories? He was Kenneth Egan, who said when Pastor Kenneth Egan was younger and used to go to his meetings, he said one day they were leaving the meeting, then he asked his mom. He said, Mom, the stories that Daddy tells, are they true or is just preaching? Because he was like, some of those stories are just too, you know, they are too sweet. He said, is that just preaching or those things are true? And that's the way many believers think about it sometimes. You know, it was Archbishop Nicholas Duncan who said he was in a meeting sometime and this man was ministering. And he said, God is about to reduce the weight of some women here. He said, and he thought, He said, and the man prayed, and people shrunk. He said, he thought, no. What am I saying? In fact, I was listening to Billy Buck also sharing, and he said he was ministering somewhere. And this lady was out in front with him, with her husband. He said, and she was lifting her hand, worshiping God, and her trousers just fell. He said, he just told everybody, close your eyes, worship God, close your eyes, worship God. And he tapped the husband and said, tell her, tell her, tell her. She
because she was just lost in worship. And then he had to tell her, and he put up her trouser and all that. And what had happened? She had lost 4 inches. Are you with me? Now, some of those things are very big, isn't it? But they are very big because we are thinking about ourselves. If we are talking about the creator of the ends of the earth, so can't he shape it and change it all in a moment? Are you there? Yeah, I've told before, many years ago when my parents had gone and lost their passports, lost, you know, in quote, because they were, I mean, my mom, they had come to the U.S. embassy and she was standing in line and somebody came out of the embassy, you know, and it's not their first time of traveling. They've been traveling for many years. And then she came there and this person came out, you know, official, blah, blah, blah. Is look, you want to, you're just here for Dropbox, as they call it, which is just renewal. You are not here for interview, blah, blah. Just give me your document. And she handed the envelope over to this guy who checked it, took it all, and went away. And thought, well, yeah, we submitted. But the next thing, they never heard anything. Came back there, asked them, this one said no. The submissions are never done like that. There's nobody, no official, who could have collected it, and they have checked and checked and checked because my dad wrote them, and they wrote back and said, no, we don't have your passports. And they thought, wow, we're in trouble. You know, so one morning they told me all of those things. I said, Pastor, let's pray together. So we agreed and we prayed. And I'm telling that story because as we prayed, I said, God, you know, it's baffling to us. And we need to talk to God because he's a real person. I said, God, it's baffling to us. Now, they had passport. They took it there. Those ones said they don't have the passport. The passport is not there. It's not here. I said, and we are really baffled about this thing. You know, I'm wondering. I said, but you are looking at it like this. Koro, koro, where it is. You know, wherever it is, whether it's in Shomolu, whether it's in, what do they call it, Oluwole or wherever. You are looking at the thing that we are looking for. You can see right where it is. So for us, it's a big wonder. For you, no. As we are thinking, where could it be? You're looking at where it is and you're just shaking your head right now. I said, so God, cause it to be found. And then after some time, you know, I think about 1 or 2 weeks, because they needed to travel for some meetings, my dad said one day, he said, well, we're going to apply for new passports. You know, he told me and I said, okay. And as he walked away, I heard God say, I hope you know that won't stop the old ones coming back. You know, and I said, thank you, Lord, you know. And then one day he came in and he had an envelope in his hand. And he called me, he said, come. So we went to his room and he dropped it on his bed. He said, look at that. So when I opened the thing, I looked at it and it was their passports. And he'd had a letter from the U.S. Embassy that says, we do not accept submissions this way. Now, that same day, my mother was on her way back from Lagos, from the U.S. Embassy. She has gone there again, and they told her, we did not see your passport. And here was a letter from them with the passports inside saying, take your passport. Somebody said, what happened? I don't know. You can be explaining it yourself. May I just say it's a miracle. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Are you still hearing anybody? So he said, have faith. So don't have faith in your faith. That's where we get stuck. You know, there are two aspects of that. Have faith in God. Two aspects. Number one, have faith in the ability of Almighty God. I'm sure we all know that Moses was a great man of faith. Did many miracles, you know. There were so many miracles in Egypt, isn't it? And he performed so many miracles in Egypt. So by that time, you think Moses, veteran, have you? Babao. So when they got to Numbers 11, and the people began to complain. I like Numbers 11. Numbers 21, the same thing. The people began to complain. Verse 1 says they began to complain, and the Lord heard them, and he displeased him. When you complain, and you complain, and you complain, God is hearing, and it displeases him. Okay? It displeases him because he's done so much already. Are you hearing what I'm saying? So there's no point complaining. So when we just stand there, because of one thing now that you haven't seen, Then we start saying all kinds of things. I don't even know. All this serving God. But God even knows that I give tithe. I do this. I do that. And why is this happening to me? He said God was hearing them and it displeased him. And then they looked at it and they said, look, we're even here in this wilderness. And you want us to die in this wilderness. And we're eating nothing. Where all the cucumbers and all those nice things we're eating in Egypt for free. They said, all we have here in this wilderness is nothing but this manna. This manna. it was a miracle in itself. And yet they despised even that miracle. All we have is nothing but this manna. Nonsense. So Moses began to talk to God. These people, they say carbohydrates, don't tire them. They say they need protein. You know, it's in Nigeria, you go to, I remember the first time I heard it, went to a restaurant, and they say, which protein? I mean, it's here that we call it protein. You go there, they say, which protein? Say, beans. I mean, that's not protein. It's protein now. Uh-huh. So what is the which protein? But what are they talking about? Shaki, a body. Roundabout. Eh? Which one do you want? So anyway, they went there and said, look, these guys want protein. They want all kinds of things. And God said, you know what I'm going to do? I'll give them meat. He said, I'll give them meat, well, not for 2 days, not for 5 days, not for 10 days. I'll give them meat for 1 month. And I won't just give them meat. They will eat it till they are tired. It will be coming out of their nose. You know, some people will think like, meat, like, give me meat. Meat, I can never be fed up of meat. And I'm thinking of Kenny, you know. You know, some people think, no, it's impossible. I'll be tired of meat. It was bread that did that to me. We ate bread so much when I was young at some point that for years I avoided bread. It took me a long time to get back again to eat bread. And even now I eat it just here and there. You know, if I slept in a hotel and you bring out bread in the morning, I'm very unhappy. you know. So God said, I'm going to give them meat till it's coming out of their nostrils for 1 month. Guess what? Moses is a great veteran of faith and miracles. But even at that point, Moses said, God, your GPS is not working. He said, you know where we are. He said, and what I have are 600,000 people, men on foot. I have 600,000 men on foot. He said, what are we going to do? Which animals? We're going to gather all animals and kill them to feed them? Or is it all the fish in the sea that we're going to pack that they're going to eat? So at that point in time, Moses began to do what? He began to think of himself. Are you hear what I'm saying? He began to think of himself. How is this going to happen? How can such a thing ever happen? And then God had to remind him. Numbers 11:23. Everybody look at Numbers 11:23. Numbers chapter 11, verse 23. Are you still here? Great. And are you getting something tonight? And the Lord said to Moses, has the Lord's arm been shortened? Has the Lord's arm been shortened? Now you see whether what I say will happen or not. Has the Lord's arm been shortened? What was God saying to Moses? He said, Moses, it's me. Are you getting what I'm saying? When you say something to somebody and say, are you sure? Are you serious? Say, it's me. God was telling Moses, it's me. But he thinks, say, I know if you do the things where I do before. Are you hearing what I'm saying? He was saying, remind yourself very quickly of who is talking. Of who said what. He said, because if I said it and you remember it's me, do you think that I lost my power? He said, then you will see that whatever I say will come to pass now. It's me. When I say it, then it can happen. You know, in Acts chapter 26, Paul was speaking to Agrippa. So we're talking about what? Number one, have faith in God's ability. Don't have faith in your faith. Remember, that's what we're talking about. So every time you are thinking about, my faith can't carry it, very often it's because you are thinking about your faith and what your faith can do. Somebody was saying to somebody, that man has, he has very big faith. And the guy said, it doesn't take big faith to believe in something that can fail. Did you get that? It doesn't take big faith to believe in something that can't fail. Are you still with me? Can I ask you a question? How many of you came into this auditorium tonight? And when you came in, you know, let's illustrate it. When you came in, and you had the chair, okay? So you took a seat, isn't it? You decided where you wanted to sit, Abby. But then when you took the seat, you began to look at it. And you checked it very well. No. How many of you did that? Come on. Then you. And you. Did you do that this evening? Why didn't you do it? Because you were not thinking it could fail. Are you hearing what I'm saying? I don't recall anybody who fell off the seat because the seat broke in this auditorium before. I'm not talking about someone who fell, you know, when being prayed for, but who just sat down, and then as you are sitting down like this, the thing just went, bah! It's happened before, once. So you understand, there is even no memory, nothing that you've witnessed. So you kind of have faith that chair can't fail. That's why you didn't bother. You just came in. Some of you, the way you even sat down and said the chair should have broken. Yeah. are you getting me? You were not thinking, in the name of Jesus, I'm going to sit down, and I command you chair to stay. I command you chair, you must not break. I command you, you must carry my weight. I command you, chair, hear my voice, O chair. Thou must not fail me tonight, O chair. Do not disgrace the child of God. Why weren't you trying to walk your faith? Because you were not thinking the chair could fail you. Are you hearing what I'm saying? It doesn't take big faith to believe in something that can't fail. Can't fail. Hallelujah. So in Acts chapter 26, Paul was talking to King Agrippa. And of course, he had been arrested. He was brought for trial. And he was to explain himself to Agrippa. Of course, they were saying all kinds of things. This Paul is a madman. This Paul is a plague. This Paul is a pest. This Paul is preaching that the Jesus that they killed that day rose from the dead. He's saying ridiculous things. So Paul told King Agrippa in Acts 26 and verse 8, he said, why should it be thought an incredible thing that God should raise the dead? You understand? He was saying, hey, if we said Paul, you know, raise the dead, you can question it. He said, but if we said God raised the dead, why should you be thinking of it as an impossibility or an incredible thing? Because we are saying God raised the dead. Are you with me? Okay, so let's look at one of the stories. Matthew chapter 9. Are you still there? So when you are thinking about yourself, you will struggle. Moses did. He struggled. he struggled. Once the moment he started thinking, where would this come from? Where would that? That's none of your business. I just believe God. You know, recently I was running a fever and I thought, I believe God, confess this, that. It just looked like it wasn't going anywhere. So at some point I just began to think, okay, you know what? I'm focused on my confession, focused on it in the sense that as I'm saying it, It's like I make one confession, I expect the fever to go down 1 degree. Make one another confession, it goes down 1 degree. And I thought, no. You believe God and what God has done. You believe what he has said, what he has done, what he did for you on the cross, how Jesus bore your sickness and your disease. So thank him for it. Rebuke the fever and forget about it all. Lie down. If it comes to your mind, just thank God that this is a done deal. This is over. And it went away. Are you with me? This was something I struggled with. But then I caught myself along the line. And I said, it's because you are so focused on, it's like each confession you make is like you trying to get it to happen. No. It already happened many years ago. Your healing happened many years ago. What you are supposed to do is just believe that it did happen indeed. Hallelujah. Okay, so I said what? Matthew chapter 9. Two blind men, verse 27. He said, when Jesus departed from there, two blind men followed him, crying out and saying, Son of David, have mercy on us. And when he had come into the house, the blind men came to him, and Jesus said to them, do you believe that I am what? Able to do this. So they've been blind all this while. And he says, what you need is to believe that I'm able to do this. Do you believe that? They said, yes, Lord. Then he touched their eyes and said what? According to your faith, let it be to you. And their eyes were opened. So what was their faith? Their faith was to believe that he is able to do this. Are you with me? That's all. That's what they needed to believe, that he's able to do this. We need to just believe that the God we are trusting in is able to do this, whatever this is for you. And rest in that. That's why he talked in Hebrews chapter 4, and he said, those who have believed in God have entered into rest. What rest? They just relax. It's not your job to make it happen. It's your job to believe that God, who can make it happen, is already on your case. Whatever the case may be. Are you hearing me? So I know there are many talks, you know, when you start, mustard seed faith, and if you see, when he says in Mark 11, if you have, Matthew 17, he talks about if you have faith like a mustard seed, you shall say to this mountain, be removed and cast, verse 20, and cast into the sea, and don't doubt in your heart, and you shall have whatsoever you say. And I know people talk about what? Faith, that mustard seed faith, meaning that it will grow and all of that. Okay, I agree. I don't have any issues with that. But when you look also in Luke chapter 17, you see that he was also talking about the actual size of that faith that is required to make mountains move. Okay, so it's not just about the fact that plant it and it will grow. It's also about the fact that even that your so-called small faith, if you were actually not having faith in your faith, but your faith was in God, that your supposed small faith will still move mountains. Because in Luke chapter 17, what happened was they came to him and they said, Master, increase our faith. So they were thinking, hey, we need big faith. We need more faith for things to start happening in our lives. And he said, if you have. He didn't say anything other than that. His answer was, if you have faith like a mustard seed. So even that size, he was saying, if that faith is in God, not that you are having faith in your size of faith. That's, my faith has grown. My faith is like this now, my faith. And if you are thinking about your faith, then you will fail. Are you still there? So, that's Matthew 9, isn't it? So the two blind men came to him, and then he touched their eyes. And that's all it took. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So there, whenever you see situations that are impossible, ask yourself who you believe in. Are you with me? Just ask yourself, who am I trusting? Once you can see and point that you are trusting in God, then you realize that God that you are trusting in is more than able. You know, Ephesians chapter 3:20 was talking about what? Now to him who is able to do what? Exceedingly abundantly above all that we could ever ask or think. Exceedingly abundantly above all that we could ever ask or think. Meaning that there are even some things you don't want to think about because you think they are so big. He said, but as big as you can imagine, God can beat you way above that and do much more. Hallelujah. Let's look at one more scripture. Romans chapter 4. So Romans chapter 4. Okay. Romans chapter 4 that I want us to read talks about Abraham. And it talks about Abraham's need for a child. Isn't it? Many people know the story. But Abraham was an old man in the Bible who had no child with his wife Sarah. And at age 75, he had no child. Sarah was about 10 years younger than him. So Sarah was 65. Abraham was 75, we would say. You know, these are estimated age. But it was that. That's the situation. And they had no child. And they were believing God, as we will say, isn't it? And then God says, look, I'll give you children. So that was tough. And then eventually, at age 100, Abraham had a child. Through Sarah, as God had said. So meaning that Sarah had the child when she was 90. Okay, so that's the summary of their lives, okay? So just imagine now. No, you won't say you have a 75-year-old auntie. You say 75-year-old grandma, I mean your grandpa, you understand? Because they went through, what, 70, 80, 90, and then 90 before, meaning that about 89 was when she get belly. You understand? So it means that up to, what, 70, 71, 72, grandma still say, God said something. Are you hearing me? She's still thinking God said something. And at about 89, something began to grow. There's something in medicine we call pseudosciences. It means fake pregnancy. Okay, so there are people who want to be pregnant so badly that their tummy begins to grow. They begin to have symptoms as if they are pregnant, there's nothing there. Some of them are the ones that they will say was pregnant for 10 years before she delivered. You go to hospital, they do ultrasound, everything, nothing is there. It's psychological, and the hormones begin to change and the tummy begins to grow. So when they saw the tummy of Sarah begin to grow, they say, Nasudo. Sciences. Are you still there? Are you here? But then he had a child. In Hebrews 11, God recorded that both Abraham and Sarah believed God. Okay, both of them had faith. So God was saying, this is how it worked. Just like we saw for the blind men, Jesus was saying, hey, do you believe I'm able to do this? And indeed, then he touched their eyes and he says what? According to your faith. He didn't say according to my power. He said according to your faith, let it be unto you. And their eyes were open. What was that faith? He said, do you believe that I'm able to do this? So what they were believing was you're able to do this. And bam, they got it. Are you there? So Romans chapter 4 also is an x-ray of how Abraham believed God. So that's why we went through that. How Abraham believed God and got a child through Sarah at that old age. And it says from verse 18, speaking about Abraham, he said, who contrary to hope, in hope believed. One says, where there was no ground for hope, he stood on hope. So that he became the father of many nations, according to what was spoken. So shall your descendants be. And not being weak in faith, he did not consider his own body already dead, since he was about 100 years old. And the deadness of Sarah's womb, he did not waver. So he was telling us all what was happening internally with Abraham. So this is an x-ray, the x-ray of a miracle, as it were. Okay? He said in verse 20, he did not waver the promise of God through unbelief, but was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God. One says he was strengthened in faith as he gave praise and glory to God. Meaning that every time he thanked God for what God has said, his faith was strengthened. Every time he remembered it, he thanked God for telling him and giving him a promise of a child, and his faith was strengthened. Every time you remember that thing you are believing God for, give him thanks and praise. And say, Lord, I thank you because 2 days ago I prayed and you promised me. I knew you heard me. I thank you because I know that you are working on my case. I know it's a done deal. I don't care what I see and what I don't see, but because I know you are a faithful and an able God. Hallelujah. So he said he did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God. And being fully convinced... Note that. Being what? Fully convinced that what he had promised, he was also able to perform. He was fully convinced that what God had promised, God is able to perform. Are you still there? The pastor NY promised me a Mercedes-Benz G-Class next week. I won't believe. You understand? I won't believe. Because I'm not sure he's able to perform. Are you getting me? Huh? I hope it will shock me. But, you know, what I will say is, I believe help down my unbelief. you understand what I'm saying? So, but when you went out now, you went out and you met a billionaire. I said, you mean you're walking? I said, okay, I'll get a car across to you tomorrow. What do? You go home, say, you don't have a car yet. What are you thinking? That man is able to perform. Are you still there? So why do we rejoice? Because God promised something. He's able to perform. He's able to perform. Are you hearing what I'm saying? The ability, they there. Hallelujah. So we can believe anything. You know, I was remembering somebody who, years ago, had written Jam. And when he finished Jam, I can almost see his face. Came to fellowship. And I was how was your Jam? So I said, man, I said, what's the problem? He said, actually, you know, it's four subjects, isn't it? He said, I did three very well. I passed. I estimated it all. He said, but my problem was that I was bad with timing. He said, so when I was going to start mathematics was when they said time up. He said, so I didn't do it. He said, so even if you are getting 60, 60 in the others, he said, I know that I won't even get 200. As it is. So if I look at the averages, I can't even get the 200. He said, can we pray? I said, yeah. So open your Bible. So we opened the Bible, we read it together, and we prayed. And then the results came out later. And the result came out, and he had 200 over 400. He could very well have scored what? 90, 90, I mean, what could he have scored? 60, 60, 80. And he will have 200. But the miracle was that he had, I think, 18 in mathematics, which he didn't do at all. So that's what got him to the 200. So he had 18 over 100 in mathematics, which is not great. But it got him to the 200 that he needed to enter a university at all. Are you with me? Somebody say, how did it happen? Ask God. When you get to heaven, if you can't ask him now, ask him then. You can write it down, ask him. Hallelujah. You know, another one was crying. No admission, no admission. No. I'm just talking about things that, you know, I mean, God does many miracles. I mean, amazing miracles. But I'm talking about things that you'll say, you know. And she said, she was sad. We're at the birthday party, looking morose. I said, how can you be looking morose at the birthday party? She said, because she didn't get admission. Didn't get admission, really. Okay, and now you are going to another university you don't like, you know, on Monday. So I said, let's pray about it. So open your Bible, we prayed. I said, okay, you know what? Don't fight anybody, but on Monday, tell your dad that before you go, you want to go back to UI to check your name again before you go. That's all your request is. I said, okay, fine. So what happened? She told her dad, please, before we go to that place, can we just stop one more time and just check? And they went back and they checked again. I mean, memory fails a bit now. And I think she must have been like number three on the list. So this was somebody whose name was not on the list on Friday, who is number three on the list on Monday. How can you not be there and be there at the top on Monday? Was somebody's name, no, I mean, no TPEX, nothing. It's not a Nigeria election. So no TPEX on the paper or anything, just that the name appeared there. Are you still there? Very quickly, let me try to wrap up. But there are two sides of God that we must believe. Number one, we must believe that God is able to perform. Number two, we must believe that God is willing to perform. Are you hearing what I'm saying? There are too many people who think, maybe God's trying to teach me a lesson. No. He doesn't teach us lessons with evil. If he's a good God, he doesn't have evil with him. Are you there? If he's a good God, he doesn't use evil to teach you lessons. The Bible says, as a father, Psalm 103 verse 13, pities his children, so does the Lord have pity upon his own children. Are you hearing me? So he doesn't use sickness to teach you a lesson. And people wonder and say, well, maybe I'm not worthy. You see, the willingness, I was counseling with somebody recently, who felt things were not working, and she was really depressed, crying and all of that. And her husband called me late in the night and said, please, I'm sorry to disturb you, but can you please speak to her? So we began to talk. And I was telling her, I said, the biggest thing for her is she feels that maybe God has forsaken her. That is not even what she didn't get and all that she trusted God for. She says it's just the thought that God has abandoned her. God is far from her. God doesn't want, I mean, he said, is that, I said, Lai, perish the thought. God is for you. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Listen, and I told her, I said, look, go to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. It should be in chapter 4, isn't it? So while you're looking for that, you know, in Mark chapter 9, one man came to Jesus. And he said, look, I brought my son to your disciples and he has fits. And your disciples couldn't do anything to help him. He said, if you can do anything. So the man was doubting his ability. He said, if you can do anything, please help me. And Jesus said, no. If you can believe, all things are possible. Mark 9:23. If you can believe, all things are possible to him that believes. In Luke chapter 1 verse 37, that was the encounter of Mary with the angel, okay? And the angel said, you are blessed, blah, 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 and you'll conceive, you'll have a child. And he said, how is it possible, seeing that I know not a man? And he said, well, the power of the highest and the Holy Ghost will overshadow you. Okay? He said, for with God, Luke chapter 1 verse 37, for with God, all nothing shall be impossible. And then Mark chapter 9:23, he says what? To him that believes, nothing shall be impossible. So to him that believes in the Almighty God, nothing. If you put both of them together, isn't it? To him that believes in the Almighty God, nothing shall be impossible to him. Okay? So the man was doubting the ability. But in Mark chapter 1, a leper came to Jesus. And he said, his problem wasn't ability. His problem was the willingness. So he said to Jesus, if you are willing, you can make me whole. And Jesus said, I am willing. He's still willing. Are you hearing me? Because it's the same yesterday, today, and forever. 3 John verse 2, somebody was trying to explain that. I said, no, it's just a letter. A theologian was trying to explain. You know, 3 John and verse 2 says what? Beloved, I wish above all things that thou may prosper and be in health. He said, and then all these people are quoting and they believe in it and trusting it as if it's a promise from God. He said, it's not a promise from God. It was just a letter that the man was writing. So it's like writing to your friend and you're saying, you know, I wish you well and all that. I said, but no scripture. All scripture was inspired by God. So even that greeting is loaded. Hallelujah. That greeting that you say, as long as he made it into the Bible, that was God writing to us. Hallelujah. Romans chapter 8. So we're talking about the willingness, and I'm going to close it here. Romans chapter 8. And verse 32. The Bible says, he who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all? Can I hear you say all? Hey, shout it like you believe it now. If he did not spare his own son, how shall he not with him freely give us all things? You know what he was saying? He says, settle that matter of God's willingness forever. Settle it forever. Because what he did already is a sign that there's nothing he will not do. Are you hearing me? I'm giving you my car. Then I said, I give you my bicycle, and you are doubting me. That becomes an insult. Isn't it? He said, how can he give me his bicycle? When you collect a car, how can you be doubting that I can give you the bicycle? Are you hearing what I'm saying? So somebody blessed you that much. Then he says, I'm going to do this small one for you. Then he says, I hope he's serious about it. I hope he wasn't joking about it. I hope I'm worthy to receive it. Before you were worthy, he had given you the biggest of all gifts. Hallelujah. Let's close it on this note. Stand on your feet. You know, Ephesians chapter 3 verse 20 was the scripture I was referring to earlier. Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we could ever ask or think. And he said in the actual original Greek, he wasn't just referring to the ability of God. He was also referring to the willingness of God. Now that scripture actually read, now to him who is able and will do. Glory to God. Who is able and will do exceedingly. He's not just able. He will do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that you could ever ask or think. Don't have faith in your faith. Just have faith in God and who he is. His ability, his willingness, and his love for you. John was writing, he said, now we have known and believed, 1 John chapter 4 verse 16, we have known and believed in the love that God has for us. We just believe it. He loves me too much to watch me fail. He loves me too much not to make it happen. I prayed he will not let me fall. Glory to God. Give him thanks tonight.